You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
By Ryan Burr, the man that had this scoop, former FS1 Pittsburgh sports anchor, Baldwin native, lover of the Steelers, Syracuse alum, all those things. Back with us here. Ryan, just your reaction to now people saying you don't know what you're talking about. Let's start there.
Yeah, I mean, I find it a little bit amusing. I have nothing to gain. I'm not in the NFL business. I'm in the golf and basketball business. I haven't done NFL since I did NFL primetime at ESPN 15 years ago. Something's told to me from someone that I know is in the know, and I put it out there on our favorite medium known as X. There is 0.0 doubt in my mind that a conversation between two parties, now it may be different, you know, if someone, a Steeler reporter, calls over to the office, they may not know that my guy and their guy spoke. I don't know the inner workings. It's really, it really doesn't matter to me. I know the call was had. I know that I've since found out, you know, since this kind of went a little crazy, that Jacksonville had zero interest. They're sold on their guy. He's their franchise guy, for better or for worse. I think the story is that the Steelers are kicking tires at right. every possible spot. And by the way, I would expect them to, Pony. Like, isn't that their job, to see if Matt Stafford, to see if Dak Prescott, to see if some players that, if you just look at the tea leaves, might not be. This isn't calling the Ravens and asking if Lamar Jackson is available.
Right.
It's calling a guy. Yes?
No, I agree with you, Ryan. I'm with you on that.
So, like, the conversation was had. You know, was it a five-second conversation? Could have been. I know Jacksonville since. It sounds like they have no interest. The Steelers can deny that the call was had. I don't know what their interest is in denying it, other than it's good business from NFL team to NFL team to not air their laundry because they don't like this stuff to get out. But, you know, it speaks volumes that the Steelers are, you know, best case scenario, not willing to run it back with Russ and Fields, and are at the minimum, guys, at the minimum, doing their due diligence to see if there is a better scenario than what we watched this year.
Ryan, here's a random point of order question here, and I don't know if you know this or not, but who the hell on the Jacksonville side? They don't have a GM. They blew Balky out of there so that Liam Cohen would actually take the job. Who on Jacksonville's, like, making that decision, like, no, we're not interested in this? Is it Shad Khan? Like, who's answering
100%.
That call?
That's 100% Shad Khan. And, you know, it's no different than, let's just say that, let's go back to the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger, right? And there's a call to be made when Ben was going through his stuff. And I believe it was Ian Rappaport that reported that the Steelers were trying to trade Ben. Can you guys correct me on that?
Yes,
do you remember
that happened, and then Ben flipped out. Yeah, Ben went nuts and basically didn't talk to NFL Network for 2 years because of that story.
Right, exactly. So, you know, was it Colbert that made a call about trading Ben? Probably not. My guess is it was someone a little closer to the top floor of the office, and that's why that story, I mean, I certainly I certainly am going to side with Rappaport on that, that he didn't make up a story. I'm going to side with the guy I spoke to, that he didn't just randomly make up a story. So, yeah, I mean, stuff happens that people don't want to get out, and they deny it. That's the nature of our business, unfortunately. But my point of that is yeah, con on down. I definitely think, you guys are starting over, a new GM's coming in, a new coach is coming in. Any interest in draft picks and moving on from Trevor Lawrence? No. Okay. Guess what, guys? That is the Steelers inquiring about Trevor Lawrence. Correct or incorrect?
Ryan, who do you think on the Steelers end made that call? Do you know, for the record?
I do not know. I do not know.
I think what was interesting to me is I connect you with Pittsburgh because you grew up here and you worked here. But in the tweet you sent out, you said you got it from the Jaguars' horse's mouth.
Right. I live in Florida. Since I've been in the golf business, I've been in Florida for 13 years. And obviously in the golf circles that I run into a lot of NFL people, that's the exact same place that I got the Brady story that you guys, with the whole Garoppolo thing, that, you know, I'm sure there was similar flames to me coming out of the blue with that. But it was told to me from as good a source in the Brady camp, I mean, as good a source as you could have, and it played out exactly as I was told. Listen, Trevor Lawrence isn't coming to Pittsburgh. I get it, but there was an inquiry. There was a conversation from two guys that just said, hey, you guys are obviously starting over. You know, what's your situation with your quarterback? We're good? Great. We're good. I don't know that it – I mean, I don't know how far the – I mean, people are
did they ever talk, you know, terms like what they did? They ever trade like, no, hey, we'd offer you this and this.
But that is my regret, Malzi, is I then speculated, okay, let's just say Trevor Lawrence was available with that contract, a 1 and a 2. I can't see the Steelers trading their number one pick next year, as trivial as it is that they have the draft. And then it became me speculating on Twitter, which is what we do, what it would take to get Trevor Lawrence. It was never told to me that it was a number one or five number ones or a number three. It was told to me that the tires were kicked from the 412 about his availability. And since it obviously has been told that they're not moving off of Trevor Lawrence.
Ryan, I mean, it just strikes me, obviously you're not going to tell us who you talked to, but it sounds like the person who told you this didn't think like he had some kind of secret or codes to Fort Knox or, you know, the security door at the White House. Like, felt like, this happened, right?
Right. I mean, the since that moment, I have heard from said person, and he obviously, now I already gave away it's a he and not a she, that he certainly didn't expect that that I was going to throw that out there, which, again, I'm not in the NFL business. It wasn't me trying to scoop Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter. It was me relaying that I found it really intriguing for a lot of different reasons that conversation was had, even if it was for 5 seconds.
Okay.
And I would expect the same call to be had for Dak Prescott. I would expect the same call to be had for Brock Purdy. Like, if you're not making those calls, like, I you know, that's the part that I don't really understand about the Steelers, like, similar to the Tomlin for a number one draft pick. I mean, I don't know if it was ever reported, it was the Bears for a number one or someone said something and it got out. But, like, the Steelers said, no, thank you. And that was the end of it. And, of course, you guys had a field day with, wow, that's, you know, considering Mike Tomlin.
Pony was foaming at the mouth.
Correct.
Pony was foaming at the mouth, Ryan. He has tried to trade Mike for years now. That he thought briefly he had a window there.
Ryan, the most interesting text I've gotten so far during this conversation is, because everyone knows you're so entrenched in the golf world, can you ask Ryan if he can help you guys get Paige Sporanek on your show?
I can do that if that is I can do that probably a lot easier than I can take this story any further. But if if you guys want Paige, if you want
she's
Paige,
she's a diehard Steelers fan. Did you know that, Ryan? She's a big time Steelers fan.
Her Instagram says she's a fan of most teams, it would appear.
I think her parents are like legitimately diehard fans, so that's where that comes from. Ryan, I do a golf show. I'll be doing a golf show starting in a month every Saturday morning.
Well, tell them what you shot at Oakmont.
I'll tell you this very quickly, Ryan. I went out there the first time, and Caddy just was working a double bag, and I think like he was more focused on my uncle, who's obviously older than me. I shot 101. Yep. I got a snap, and I'm on 11 right now. I got a snap second chance to play on like 12 hours notice, and we fired an 88 the second time out there, Ryan.
And what tees?
Blue tees, regular men's tees there.
Okay. Men's tees of 65, 66. That's the score in the 80s is extremely, extremely respectable. I would say comfortably you can add 13 to 14 shots to your normal score, and that's respectable.
I feel good about that. You got to take who's going to win the who's winning it. Thank you. Who's winning it this year at Oakmont? Give me an early call in February for a U.S. Open champ 4 months out.
Hideki Matsuyama.
Wow, that is
Matsuyama. I think it's going to be Ludwig. As long as Ludwig doesn't have norovirus for the 18th time, I like Ludwig out there.
He has a norovirus issue?
He was puking his guts out a couple weeks ago.
I didn't
see
that.
You know, the interesting thing about golf handicapping is it really does come down to courses for courses more than any other metric other than how are you playing at the time. Like if Scottie Scheffler's hot and playing well, it doesn't matter the course. If Rory McIlroy's playing well, I look back at past U.S. Opens where you get a Jim Furyk type in there. Certainly the USGA has calmed down on their U.S. Open setups. There was a time where if you missed the fairway, especially at Oakmont, you were chipping out, which even though everyone says every course is a bomber now, it really was about accuracy. I will go, not out on a limb. I mean, here's the other thing about majors. For the most part, you can narrow it down to the same 20 names for just about every major. But I really, really like the way Colin Morikawa is trending right now. As accurate as any player out there, as good as an iron player, from 150 to 175 yards as anyone on the tour. Way, way out there, I'll take Colin Morikawa.
Will you be up here for the U.S. Open, Ryan?
I will be. I will be.
Perfect. Well, we'll have you on then. Thank you, Ryan. You're
all
the
right.
man.
Okay.
Appreciate
See
it.
See you guys.